Well, welcome back to our study of Proverbs, one of the wisdom books in the Old Testament of the Bible. And if you've been following along with us, you know that we recently finished up with chapters 1 through 9, and then we spent some time looking at the better than verses. Those are about 25 verses throughout the whole book of Proverbs that say one thing is better than another, and another thing is better than another, that sort of thing. Really interesting verses. And then we launched into dealing with chapters 10 through 13. And what we did with 10 through 13 is we broke it down into three topics. And we explored those topics as they are addressed in chapters 10, 11, 12, and 13. Four chapters, I'm sorry. so that was industry, righteousness, and speech. And industry meaning maybe a better label would be stewardship. What you do with your money, how you earn money, your work ethic, your attitude toward money, how much you give, how generous you are, that sort of thing. And so we looked at that. And then righteousness. In Proverbs, the idea of righteousness isn't very much like what we're used to seeing in the New Testament. It's more like might be better called citizenship. That is how one man deals with another. One individual treats, you know, their neighbor. And then speech. And we just finished that. And Proverbs, as well as really the whole Bible, has a lot to say about speech. And in fact, you already know that Proverbs and James have a lot in common. The Old Testament book of Proverbs and the New Testament book of James have a lot in common, and more than anything, probably, in the area of speech. Now, we are going to chapter 14 in Proverbs, and chapter 14 is unique in a certain way, and that is, it has the most to say about the fool than any other chapter in Proverbs. It isn't the whole chapter, but half to two-thirds of the chapter deals with the fool. And so this will be a very interesting study. And there are other things in chapter 14 besides the fool, but there's an awful lot about the fool in chapter 14. So let's start chapter 14. And let's read the first seven verses. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness speaks lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to him who has understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. So there are some pretty provocative verses there. Let's look at what we have. So the first one compares the wise wife with a foolish wife. That's a pretty interesting thing. And look what it says about the foolish one. The foolish tears her house down. And a little later, we'll spend some time looking at the home and husband and wives. And we will find that that Proverbs lifts up the wife and calls her very, very significant in the home. And you can see in this verse that there is already an echo of that, and that is that The wife, it says, can tear her house down with her hands, whereas the wise one builds her house. So there's a lot of effect, a lot of significance, a lot of consequence to a wife who acts wisely. Verse 2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises him. Now, it is always useful when you see the fear of the Lord mentioned. And, you know, in the past, we've spent some time on that, that idea, the fear of the Lord, which, of course, is not, you know, it's not theophobia. It is simply viewing him correctly, viewing God correctly. And here it says, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises him. So we see, in connection with the fear of the Lord, we see some insight into what it is by looking at the contrast. The contrast is, you despise God. You despise God if you don't fear him, if you don't view him properly. Verse 3, the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. That simply says the mouth, your mouth can punish you or it can save you. Verse 4, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. This verse has often been interpreted as someone who's fastidious and doesn't want to mess up their barn, you know, wants to keep it clean. I don't think that's it at all. I think what's being spoken of here, and you find this much in Proverbs, is the entrepreneur or the, you know, self-employed person, the one who has a business, who doesn't want to spend on the ox, doesn't want to buy an ox when he should, because the return is more than his expense. But this proverb is saying it's unwise to, as the saying goes, be, you know, penny wise but pound foolish. In other words, it's false economy. It's false economy to not, as a business operator, to not buy something you need when you could get a better return, more return than what you spent. That's all that is. It's kind of practical. Verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness speaks lies. That's simply saying that it's a wicked person's nature to lie. One who is not committed to God, one who is not a lover of God, doesn't love Jesus Christ, this person's nature is to lie. And really, it's in all of us. From the fall, we have this tendency to lie, for sure. Verse 6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to him as understanding. Well, from that you can get the idea that wisdom and scoffing, which is an old word for, you know, being critical, you know, being contrary as a rule, not just, you know, once or twice, but, you know, constantly being difficult and contrary, and making fun of things or people. Wisdom and scoffing are incompatible. You can't do both. You can't be wise and be a scoffer. That's what that's saying. And then verse 7, leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge. As in many places in Proverbs, this verse is speaking of the company you keep. You need to be careful of the company you keep. All right. So let's go down to verse 14, and let's read through 17. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. The naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. All right, back up to 14. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways. This should resonate with you. The Bible is full of statements about reaping what you sow, and this is what this is saying. If you choose sin over obedience to God, and you repeatedly do that, you will get the consequences. You will reap what you sow. The next one, verse 15, the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. This sounds really interesting, because it defines the naive. And we saw that actually earlier, way back in chapter 1, we got a definition of the naive. And that was the person who is comfortable in their naivete. They are comfortable and don't want to consider that there are big issues in life. So the naive believes everything. That is, they're gullible. They're exploitable is probably the best word. They're exploitable. Verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Here again, we have a contrast. To be wise is not to be arrogant. Do you see? To be wise is not to be arrogant. Verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. This sounds like someone who's a hothead. Society picks up on that pretty quickly, and he gets a reputation. Such a person gets a reputation as being a fool. All right? And you can see that in the next verse as well, verse 18. Now let's go over to, let's go down to verse 31 and read to the end of the chapter. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies. Wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding, but the bosom of fools it is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. Well, verse 31, that's a really interesting verse. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he who is gracious to the needy honors him. So we have poor and needy. That's the disenfranchised. That's the disrespected. That's the marginalized, the people we push over to the margins in society. This is saying that when we treat people that way, God notices. And God is offended by it. That's a very important thing to think about. That the disenfranchised have special notice by God. 32, the wicked is thrust down by his own wrongdoing. And then it says, the righteous has a refuge. So what it's saying there is that society, again, this is about society another time, society favors righteousness. As a rule, society is drawn toward and favors righteousness in its working. You know, in the working of society and the, you know, citizenship and government and all of that, righteousness is much to be favored by the majority. Verse 33, wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding, but in the bosom of fools it is made known. Well, briefly, this is saying that a fool has a long way to go to be wise. A fool has a very, you know, they're far from being wise. They have yet to be wise. They have a long way to go. Yeah. Righteousness exalts a nation. That's actually connected to what we've already looked at. Verse 34. And then 35. The king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. One of the roles of leadership, whether it's government, you know, whether it's, you know, military, whether it's, you know, different levels in society, one of the roles, one of the obligations of leaders is to root out incompetence, and they will. They don't even know that they're doing it. They don't even know that it's an obligation of theirs, but they'll do it. They'll root out incompetence. So we see that Solomon's wisdom is timely and practical. And yeah, there's a lot there. Now let's jump over to chapter 26. And the reason we're doing that is when we went through the topical, things before in 10 through 13, and as we come back to some topicals a little bit later, we will pretty much cover the landscape, the breadth of Proverbs. But I want now to jump over to 26, and there's a reason I want to do that, and that is we just looked at chapter 14. And as I mentioned, chapter 14 has a lot about fools and wise, you know, foolishness and wisdom. And so does chapter 26. Chapter 26 also has quite a bit to do with fools and being wise, but also a little bit more on speech as well. So let's look at that. Chapter 26. And we can divide chapter 26 into three divisions, three categories. The first third of the book, let's say, not exactly thirds, but roughly thirds. The first third of the book addresses the fool. The middle of the book addresses what Scripture will call the sluggard, or we would say the lazy person. And then the last third, really almost the last half of the book, is about speech. So there's going to be a lot about speech in this book, in this chapter. So let's get started. Let's read the first, eight verses. Like snow in summer and like rain, chapter 26, like rain and harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. A whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, who sends a message by the hand of a fool. Like the legs which hang down from the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. Let's go ahead and go through 10. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of the drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool, or who hires those who pass by. Wow. So there's a lot there. In fact, the first 12 verses, which we didn't actually get to 12, we only read through 10, but the first 12 verses there are addressing the fool. And we see some pretty interesting things. Verses 1 and 2 say that honor and dishonor eventually will rest appropriately on the fool or on the wise. Honor and dishonor. Verse 3 says that fools require managing. Look at that again. A whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Fools need to be managed. That's what he's saying. Verses 4 and 5 are kind of interesting. Some versions don't make this as clear as the NASB does. I'm reading from the NASB, and it's pretty clear in this version. Other versions actually aren't quite as succinct. But what is saying in verses 4 and 5, what Solomon is saying is, don't placate. Instead of placating a fool, instead of going along with him, rebuke him. That's all it's saying. Very simple. Verses 6 and 10 say don't employ a fool. Verses 7 and 9 say, fools are unable really to be wise. No surprise there. Verse 11 is telling us, what is it? We didn't actually get to 11, but let's go ahead and read that. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. What is that saying? That fools don't learn from their foolishness. They don't learn. And then there's actually one more verse that should be included in the fools portion, and that is verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. That is a powerful statement. Because we already know how bad the fool is. Remember, the Bible describes the fool. You can even see it in chapter 1 of Proverbs. As the one who is actively, adamantly, demonstrably against God. He's opposed to God. He's not just indifferent. He's opposed to God. And it says here that someone who is self-wise is worse than a fool. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Self-wisdom is foolishness on steroids, in other words. So it keeps on going. I want to back up. I think there was something there I wanted to... Oh, yeah. Verse 2. Let's go back to verse 2. Like a sparrow when it's flitting, like a swallow when it's flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. I really love that verse. It says you don't have to take to heart the things people might say about you. You don't have to take it to heart. Now, if they're true, well, maybe you should take them to heart. Maybe you should change. Maybe you should, you know, maybe you should change. But, you know, the implication, the idea behind this verse is that bad things said to you or bad things said about you, you don't have to own them. You don't have to take them to heart. It doesn't have to stick. And that's a very powerful idea. The Bible is so full of wisdom and so practical and so powerful. All right, well, let's go on to the next section in chapter 26, and that would be the sluggard. We have just a few verses there, four, I guess. Let's read those. Verse 13, chapter 26, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a lion is in the open square. 14, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, he is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. The slugger is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Wow. Well, verse 13 is the lazy person who whines about having to go to work. Yeah, 13, there's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the open square. He's whining about having to get up and go to work. 14 is pretty obvious, someone who doesn't want to get out of bed. 15... I don't want to offend anyone, but 15 sounds like someone who, and I'm probably guilty. I'm probably guilty of this too, who wants to go to McDonald's instead of cooking, but constantly, like every day, and maybe you know a lot of bachelors or you know a lot of single men or even single women might be like this. They don't want to spend time cooking, and that's actually spoken of here. That's what it's talking about. Verse 16. Here we have another statement about being wise, being self-wise. And look what this says here. Verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. You know what that's saying? When it says seven... Now, you can go too far with numerology. You can go too far playing with numbers in Scripture. Easy to do, easy to go too far. But there are some keys in numbers. And one of the things that the ancients did when they said things like seven times, you know, or they used the word seven, they were talking about completeness. To the ancient peoples, the words, the number seven was a prosaic way to speak of completeness. So what this is being said here by Solomon is, the sluggard, the lazy person, is wiser in his own eyes than seven men. That's like saying completely, completely foolish. So you might say that self-wisdom, the self-wisdom of a lazy person is immeasurable. It's unaccountable. It's beyond comprehension. Do you see? All right. So now the rest of chapter 26 is about speech. And there is a lot of interesting things here. That would be verses 17 through 28. We'll just hit on a couple of them. Let's go over to verse 22. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Wow. So it's saying when you gossip, it's like if you're eating eclairs or bonbons or Reese's buttercups, you know what I'm saying? Peanut butter cups. It's delectable. It's a dainty. And that's how we come to gossip. As fallen man, we are prone, just like we would delight in having a little tidbit, you know, a dainty little tidbit. We are drawn to gossiping about other people. And how evil that is. Man is perversely attracted to gossip. Well, the rest of the verses down to 28 are talking about backbiting and more about gossiping. So check it out and see for yourself what that's all about. So that's chapters 14 and 26. The next thing we'll do, we're going to finish up for today, but the next thing we'll do is we will go back to some topics again, and we'll see what the whole book of Proverbs says about a couple of the topics we've already dealt with as topics, but this time, instead of just doing them with, you know, three or four chapters, we'll do it with a whole book. And we'll sort of skim the whole book on these topics. And those topics will be the same ones we did before. And that is industry, righteousness, and speech. And we'll see that the whole book of Proverbs, we're not going to cover every single verse, but we'll see in a real, you know, overview way that the whole book has a lot to say on those things. I hope you're getting something from this study of Proverbs. It is a very enlightening and stimulating and provoking book. It provokes us. It's meant to stir us up. And I hope that that's being helpful to you. So next time, we'll go into the topic of industry throughout the whole book of Proverbs. And I hope you'll check that out. Coming up next. In the meantime, believe God.